Are you a small business owner looking to scale your business and your profits? Are you looking for strategies to find balance in your life as an entrepreneur? Stay tuned while Craig Staley, founder of HG Site Design, a website design and marketing agency, shares strategies from successful small business owners, authors, and experts on how to do just that. Let's join Craig as he explores how we can all take our businesses to the next level on the Small Business School podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Small Business School. I'd like to thank you for joining me today. My guest is Ryan Dowdy. She is a sales expert and the founder of the Social Sellers Academy. Before our conversation today, I don't think I probably could have easily defined what social selling is. And Ryan really cleared that up for me. We also talk about how there needs to be a transition at some point in a business where the owner or the CEO, who's maybe been doing most of the selling for their business, transition that over to a sales team so they can focus more on strategy and some of those higher level duties, and allowing a sales team to kind of take over that job, how that transition really works. Really go into a lot of things like what makes a great salespeople and some mistakes that you should avoid when you're hiring a sales team. So a lot of great information today. Stick around. You're going to really enjoy this guest. So let's get right to it with our guest, Ryan Dowdy. All right. I'd like to welcome my next guest. She is Ryan Dowdy, sales expert and founder of the Social Sellers Academy. How are you, Ryan?
I'm great, Craig. How are you?
I'm doing great. Before we get kind of into the meat of the interview, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and kind of your background?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a sales expert. I've been in sales my entire career. So I started my sales career literally at 21 years old, absolutely on accident. Spent a very long time there as an individual contributor, went on to channel sales, national sales trainer, director of sales, and then entrepreneur. And it has just been a crazy and wild ride. So when I am not running a business, I'm married to my husband, Kevin. I have three kiddos. I have a 16-year-old stepdaughter who, random fun fact, just started interning for our company.
Wow.
Really? Yeah. It was kind of fun. I got like the Slack notification. Isabella Dowdy has joined your team. And I was like, oh, this is wild. So yeah, she's going to do some like social media and video work for us and stuff. So, and then my kiddos are 4 and 2, well, almost 2. So we stay super busy. We live in a suburb of Kansas City, and I just love the work that I do. And I feel very blessed that this is my life.
Very awesome. So tell me, how did you get into sales by accident? What happened there?
Yeah. So I actually had studied communications, PR, advertising in college. And Craig, I had interned at a PR firm in New York City, actually. And I thought I was going to get into PR. And I was like, this is so fun. I worked with like some really cool brands. And I was like, this is great. And then I learned when I graduated and like started looking at jobs and job descriptions that like sales and PR were kind of the same thing as far as just like pitching and trying to get publicity and trying to get people to say yes, right? Like pitching products for magazine placement instead of asking somebody for money. But when somebody said yes in sales, you got paid commission. And I was like, oh, well, that's so much better. So I took a sales job instead of continuing to look for a PR job.
Interesting. So you're going to have to inform me here. How is social selling different from just regular sales?
Sure. So I think the biggest difference in the social selling and the traditional old school outside sales model is just how we're connecting with people, Craig. You know, when I started back in 2004, 2005, I always tell people it's kind of a joke. Like when I started, I literally had to like print the MapQuest directions of like where I was going, right? Like that's how long ago I started. Like Blackberries were just kind of cool. There wasn't a laptop on every desk. Okay. Like that's how long. And what's wild to think about is it wasn't that long ago. It was 2004. But it was long enough ago that that was the case. And so we prospected or connected with potential clients through networking, through, you know, pulling doors, through going to events, through referrals, through introductions. We used to throw big events. I worked for a radio station. We used to throw big events to like for client appreciation to get them to bring people in. And so that's how we went out and met people and found prospects and built relationships. And so for me, social selling is the same activity as outside sales, except for we're connecting with new people online. you're connecting with new people on, you know, on social media. And what I love about that is that we have access to so many more people and we can be so much more efficient and targeted with our prospecting. Because again, when I was pulling doors back in 2004, it wasn't as readily available to be like, what kind of company is this? Like, who should I be calling on? Who's the decision? None of that information was available. So to me, social selling is really, you know, the new iteration of outside sales where we leverage social media as, you know, as our prospecting relationship building tool.
Do you feel like, you know, from a social selling standpoint, and maybe it varies by market, but do you feel like LinkedIn is kind of the place? I mean, obviously you can get a lot of information from LinkedIn, or do you think it just depends on who you're selling to?
It 100% depends on who you're selling to and who your audience is. I think that LinkedIn is, like I always say, LinkedIn was like the OG of social selling. Like, it is, you know, where we all started. I've had a LinkedIn profile since before it was cool, but I grew my first business primarily on Facebook, leveraging a Facebook group. You know, right now we connect with a lot of our ideal clients via Instagram. So I think it just depends on who your people are and who you're talking to.
Got it. So I know your goal is to free up CEO's time by kind of developing a high performing sales team. I think as we get started growing a business, a lot of times it's the owner or the CEO that's doing a lot of the selling because, you know, obviously they're the most vested, especially when it's small and it's maybe a startup. But if you're transitioning to a sales team, is that something that you think can happen quickly or is it a process over time?
I think it depends on the company. I mean, for me, it happened very quickly. As far as like my business, I tell people all the time, like we were barely scratching, you know, 200,000 when I was like, I need this off my plate. Like I don't have time to do this well and talk to enough people and engage enough people and get in enough salespeople. And so from the time I made that decision to hiring, to literally letting Kayla go by herself was maybe 60 days. It did not take me a long time at all to make that happen. But depends on what training and resources and how you want to bring the person on and where you are in your business building journey. I see people all the time, Craig, they start with part-time salespeople, right? Or somebody who's just doing some outreach or engagement on social media or that sort of stuff, but still the business owner winds up being the person who's taking the sales call. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. I always say it's kind of based on your comfort level and often based on budget. You know, not everybody has the budget in the beginning for a full-time employee, but they could certainly, you know, afford a part-time employee for 10 or 15 hours a week to at least do some of the heavy lifting. So I think it's dependent upon how, you know, how quickly you want to move and your financial situation and what resources you have in place to set that person up for success.
Sure. What mistakes have you seen businesses make when they're hiring a sales team that maybe we should avoid?
There are a lot. You know, first and foremost, I think that we have a tendency to, I saw this in my corporate career and I see this in online entrepreneurship, is that we tend to over glorify the job and we're not 100% honest. Like, I love sales, Craig. It is my life. It has obviously become my life's work. I think that if I wasn't an entrepreneur, I would be a sales rep. Like those are the only two jobs I'll ever have.
Yeah.
But we tend to over-glorify it because it's a lot of hard work, right? Like it's a lot of rejection. It's a lot of no. It's a lot of, you know, spending time in the DMs and reaching out to strangers and getting ignored and getting told to go fly a kite. And I think that sometimes we're not candid about that. We try to hide that part of the job and try to glorify like the really fun parts of the job, which is actually like meeting people and solving their problems and watching them get results and collecting commission checks, right? So for me, I think it's always being really transparent with the job itself and that it's not, you know, butterflies and rainbows all of the time. So I think that's one mistake. I think the second thing is that we expect results too soon. I see people, they expect sales reps and they expect them to be closing business, you know, within like 30 days. And it depends on what you sell, right? I mean, 100%. If you're selling widgets for, you know, $49, like, yeah, absolutely. But if you're selling a $5, $10, $15, $20,000 program or service of some kind, it's going to take time. It takes time to build relationships. It takes time to learn the products. It takes time to, you know, really fully understand the entire sales cycle. So I would definitely say that we expect results too quickly and therefore we get frustrated. And we're like, oh, I hear this all the time. Like I've hired three salespeople. None of them have worked out. It's like, well, how long did they work there for? And sometimes you just got to go with your gut, right? Sometimes you meet somebody and you immediately know like, okay, they're not a fit, or you find the first couple of weeks. But oftentimes we expect results too quickly. And then on the flip side of that, Craig, is that we don't set up really strong training programs for them. we kind of have them wing it a little bit. And I was super guilty of this. Like when I hired my first salesperson, 110% she was winging it for sure. But, you know, I think that it was like one of those things you can go back and tell your former self. It's like, don't wing it with your sales team. Like, you know, really have a plan in place of how you're going to train them and how you're going to support them and what activity you want them focused on day in and day out, and really having KPIs and metrics and things prepared to set them up for success. Because I think sometimes we're like, oh, Craig, you're good at sales. Cool. Like you like talking to people. You like what I sell. Aim on, let's do this. And we think that Craig's just going to figure it out on his own. And I'm sure you're brilliant, but sometimes we need a little bit of, you know, instruction and guidance. And so I definitely see that as a mistake. And then the final mistake, I think more in just the hiring process, is that we are oftentimes looking for experience. God, I got to find an experienced sales rep. I've got to find somebody who's done this before. And while that's great and lovely, and we would all love to hire someone with experience, for me, I'm always looking for attitude over experience. I can train for skill all day long, right? I can teach you, there are a million ways to learn how to sell, and it's an extremely learnable skill. So for me, I'm looking for attitude. I'm looking for, you know, the person who seems excited and, you know, the person who has a really great energy and the person that you want to have a conversation with and you enjoy, like, and I wish that I could teach this, because I think so much of it is being in sales for so long is it's just, for me, it's a gut. It's a gut reaction. It's totally like, okay, this person, their energy is good. Like they're here for it. They're in it to win it. They want to be successful. They're self-driven. They're self-motivated. I'll teach them how to sell. Right. So, and I think oftentimes we pass on candidates who could be really great because we're looking for that person for experience because we think it's going to be better and that they'll get up to speed faster.
So you kind of touched on it or at least brought it up, but what are some of those things that you've learned over time that we can do to help set our new salesperson up for success?
Yeah. So first and foremost, document, document, document. You know, we teach people this, and I'm sure you know this, Craig. In business, right? We always tell people, you know, the key to get from six to seven figures is your processes, right? Like what are the
SOPs and
right. Like we need to have sales SOPs.
Yeah.
So, you know, what happens when somebody new comes into your world, right? When they join your Facebook group, when they follow you on Instagram, when they join your email list, like how are we engaging people? What does that conversation look like? So really documenting how you or whoever's wearing the sales hat in the business are currently enrolling clients, and make sure that that's documented somewhere. That's first and foremost, right? Second thing is having sales metrics or KPIs, key performance indicators, right? Like what should a salesperson be doing every day? Like by the numbers, we talk about the science of sales, right? Sales is a science. It's a formula. And, you know, but what is that formula? How many new people should we be talking to every day? How many existing relationships should we be nurturing every day? Ideally, how many sales conversations should we be running per week? You know, and really having those numbers lined out. What I often tell people, if you don't have that already, it's okay. You can make it up. And then numbers. Nobody, you know, again, if we're talking science, the first time is always an experiment, right? This is just a science experiment. But if we don't have a baseline of like, okay, this is the activity, we don't know if the experiment works or not. So is having those KPIs in place, having those metrics in place, knowing, you know, for you, the business owner, you're always going to be better at it than a salesperson. So if you are closing at a 50% rate, meaning 50% of your sales calls actually become clients, and then you're going to be prepared for your sales rep to close at 25% at first, because they're not going to be as good as you. So if you want to close 5 sales a month and they're only closing 25% of their sales calls, I'm bad at math, but that means we got to talk to quite a few people. So I think having those numbers in place. So one, it's having the processes, having the numbers and the metrics and the KPIs, and ultimately really having a plan in place for accountability. I know, again, super guilty of this early on in my entrepreneurial journey, is expecting that someone has the level of accountability that you do as a business, right? You're like, well, yeah, I'm just going to do it till it gets done. Unfortunately, we don't teach that to entrepreneurs, to employees. So until you instill that culture in your people, which you absolutely positively can do, but at first, if they're coming from somewhere else where there wasn't that culture of accountability, we really have to create that. So how are we going to hold them accountable? How are they checking in every day and letting you know the progress that they're making? How are you going to provide that guidance for them? It is, I think, really important things to think about as we're thinking through, okay, I'd like to have this role in my company. What do I really need to have in place? And so for me, it's definitely the process as it exists today, you know, metrics and KPIs, really having a system in place for accountability. And then the final thing I would say is making sure there's a place for lead tracking, even if it's an Excel spreadsheet. This is not about technology. It's just, you know, sales is about follow-up. The data tells us that at any given time, only 3% of our current audience is ready to buy, which means that 97% are not. So we want to have a place where we can keep track of the people that we're talking to and keep track of our relationships and our conversations, so we can be prepared to build a relationship over, you know, weeks and months if necessary.
Very good. So what do you feel, and you, I think you touched on this a little bit, but what do you feel makes a great salesperson? Out of all the salespeople you've seen, you know, in your experience, what really stands out to you as a quality that really makes a great one?
I have to pick one.
Well, you can pick a couple.
I mean, one, I think the first, if I had to pick one, it would be a heart of service. It would be a heart of service. I truly, truly, truly believe that selling is serving. And so, you know, it's, we have to be willing to give to receive. And so a heart of service, somebody who really enjoys serving whoever your ideal client is, somebody who really enjoys problem solving and talking to people and building relationships. So I can boil that down to one thing, is somebody who has that heart of service, who is willing to be patient and take the time to get to know someone instead of forcing their own agenda. I think that that's really, really important. Things from there, you know, especially if we're talking social selling, we want to make sure that our people love social media. A lot of time on social media. And some people, while they might be excellent at an excellent conversationalist, like really hate social media or just don't have the energy for it. And then it always helps when they're money motivated, because oftentimes, you know, sales roles are a lion's share of compensation is coming from commission. So you want somebody who has big goals and wants to swing for the fences, you know, from an income perspective.
So kind of going to the social selling aspect of it, what are maybe some norms or tips, as this is kind of really an emerging way to sell? What are some norms or tips for contacting people? I mean, we all get our inbox filled up with cold emails. You know, we get the cold calls on our old landlines and that type of stuff. But what are you finding when you're DMing people or contacting people? What's the best way to reach out without being too overbearing, I guess?
So the first thing we always recommend is try to warm up your outreach as much as possible. So if I was like, hey, Craig, it would be an awesome, you know, it would be awesome for Social Sellers Academy, I wouldn't jump in your inbox first. I would comment on your content. I might go listen to your podcast and be like, hey, Craig, I listened to your podcast the other day. You interviewed so-and-so. It was amazing. Really love the work that you're doing. And I would try to create a little bit of familiarity before jumping into your inbox.
So that's, it's not just cold.
Thing. So it's not cold. So I'm not so much a stranger on the internet. Still a stranger on the internet, but you know. And then the second thing from there is, in any outreach that we do, I tell my team and our clients two things. You want to be the most interesting and the most interested person in anybody's inbox. That first message is never about you. And I receive, and I'm sure you do too, all sorts of messages. Hey, my name is Ryan. I'm amazing. I do all these incredible things. Da, 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 da. Tell me about you. And I'm like, it's, first of all, it's lazy. And second of all, nobody cares. Not because you're not lovely, but just because it's all about what's in it for me. Like, that is what sales is about, is what's in it for the person receiving this message. And so when you send a message all about you, they don't care. There's nothing in that for them. And so, you know, for us, outreach is all about being interesting and being interested. And so again, it might sound something like, hey, Craig, I've been listening to your podcast. I love the interviews that you do. You bring on really fantastic guests. You know, what's your favorite thing about having a podcast, right? Because what does Craig want to talk about? Himself, not because we're wired that way. We just love to talk about ourselves, right? And so that's how we always really try to start conversations, about the what's in it for them. And I'm also very big on being direct. You're here to sell me something. Tell me you're here to sell me something. You know, like the bait and switch, people are too smart for that anymore. So, you know, for us, it's always very direct. It's, hey, Craig, wanted to reach out to you. I love the work that you're doing. I think it's incredible. And I'm reaching out because we help businesses that look like yours build seven-figure sales organizations through, you know, social selling. And, you know, I'd really, if that's something that you're looking to do in your organization, I'd love to have a conversation about how we might serve you. 10 minutes of your time won't take too long at all. And I think that when we do that, when we say, hey, this is why I'm reaching out to you, and this is how I want to help you, and this is how we help other companies that look like yours, the response rate is so much higher than if it's like, you know, hey, I just love to connect. And then, you know, we've all been on that coffee chat turned into like failed sales pitch. And that's just a no for me. If you're going to try to sell me something, just tell me, you know, I'm not mad about it. We're all here to sell something to somebody. That's what business is about. But I think the more that you try to hide the fact that you're selling, the more salesy it feels.
Sure. I agree. So transitioning a little bit more to your business and kind of your past experience, what would you say has been the best moment in your business's history so far?
So, you know, I had a business by myself, and then I started Social Sellers Academy in partnership with Kelly Roach, who's my business partner. So I'm going to tell you what the best moment was in my first business, because it was a little, and I'm going to tell you what my best moment is in this business. So the first thing, you know, in my business, the very best moment, because I, in my first business, I served brand new entrepreneurs, helping them learn how to sell and get clients, many of them leaving the corporate world. And she was one of my very first clients. Her name is Tiffany. And she went through a free workshop that I did, joined my program, replaced her corporate salary in like 6 weeks while on maternity leave, and has crushed it in her business. And that was the first time I really realized like what a difference I was able to make. I was just like, oh yeah, I did sales. Like, that's cool. But like, it was no longer about the money anymore. It was about like, I just changed this woman's life. Like, she has 4 kids. And she's now able to, she has a nanny. We still stay in touch, and she's been a client for years. You know, she's a nanny who's home with her kids. She's not a stay-at-home mom, but like, her life has changed forever. She's now running, you know, a multiple six-figure agency out of her home. And, you know, I helped her really shift from marketing to sales. And so to me, I always think of that as like one of my very favorite moments, because it was my aha moment that I was like, oh my gosh, this is so much bigger than just learning.
Yeah, it's the impact that you made.
And in our current business, you know, the Academy just kicked off in January, so it hasn't even been a full 6 months, but, you know, we've had, I want to say 2 or 3 of the students in our program. So our goal is always to help our social sellers 4X their revenue or their salaries as quickly as possible. So, you know, if their salary is $30,000 a year, we want to help them generate $120,000 in revenue as quickly as possible to be considered profitable for the CEO who hired them. And so we've helped 3 or 4 people do that in about 5 months, which has been really cool. And some of them like brand new hires, like brand new hires in the company. So for me, that again is a lot of fun as well, just to see the system work and to see the impact that you're making, because not to mention the amount of money that sales rep is now making in commission, but how that again sets that entrepreneur up to continue to make the impact that they're making in the world. I like working with impact-driven people and watching them change the world in whatever capacity that is for them.
That's great. What would you say has been the biggest challenge on the opposite side that you faced in business, and what did you do to overcome it?
Yeah. So again, in my first business, I'll give you 2 examples, because that one was just longer. I had longer time to figure that part out. So for me in the beginning, my biggest challenge was I was trying to do what the gurus on the internet told me to do. And that was just not working for me. And a perfect example, and I don't know what your experience was or how you got into entrepreneurship, but as soon as I learned about online entrepreneurship, I like dove in. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, and you start getting served ads all of the time, right? For the webinars and the challenges and all this other stuff. And everyone told you, you know, you need to pick a niche, and you need to have an offer, and you need to build an email list, and you need to start a podcast and start a blog, and you need to do all of these things. And I did every single one of them, Craig, and like never made a dime.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea what I was doing.
It became an activity trap.
Yes. Instead of just like go flipping talk to people, which is what I know, like that's what I teach in sales. But for some reason I was convinced that, oh, well, because this isn't traditional business, right? Like where I was used to, this is online business. So this must be different. So I have to do it the way these online gurus have done it. And I legit wasted a solid 9 months spinning my wheels, checking boxes, building freebies that nobody ever downloaded, sending emails. You know, I launched my first podcast. I had like 3 clients. It was just wild. And I mean, it was fun. I learned a lot. I still had a full job. So my business wasn't necessary to feed my family. So I had the time, but it really extended my runway of getting started. But I'm glad that I went through it, because then again, it helped me be able to better market myself, in understanding that a lot of other people were going through it too. Because in the beginning I was serving new entrepreneurs. So I'm like, yeah, if you're like me, you're in that same trap where it's like, create content, build a freebie, build an email list, run a webinar, da, 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 da. And I'm like, no, no, no. In the beginning, just go talk to people and, you know, go build relationships, solve problems, you know, human to human connection, get all of that. And that's how my business grew up. And it's how my clients' businesses blew up. So that was kind of that challenge there. Now it's really interesting in launching a second business. You almost have a little bit of like success expectancy. You're like, oh yeah, yeah, I know how to do this, right? Like Kelly's my business partner. She's got a, you know, multiple eight figure business. And, you know, I've done $1 million in sales in 2 years. And I'm like, yeah, sure. We know how to do this. And I'm like, this is the most humbling experience in my life. To be brand new again, and having to slow down and be brand new again has been extremely challenging for me over the past few months. You know, when you're used to succeeding and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, I got this. And then you're like, oh, I got to figure out how to do this all over again with a different product and a different audience and a different message. And whew, so, yeah, but I'm still working through that right now. I mean, we're having a lot of fun and, you know, we are making an impact and our business is doing relatively well, but it just, you forget how it feels to be a newbie. And it's doesn't matter how much experience you have. You're still a newbie when you start with a new business.
Definitely a process. So who would you say you consider your mentor and what's maybe the most important lesson they've taught you?
So, you know, if I'm thinking short term, so Kelly Roach, who's my business partner, she was my first business coach. Not my first business coach, that's a lie. She was my first business coach that really made a huge, huge, huge impact on me. Like I worked with Kelly for 2 years before we started a business together. And I think what Kelly, also coming out of corporate America, was not an online business building guru. And for me, she really just reminded me of like the fundamentals that you've been doing for the last 15 years. Like, yeah, that's what business building is. And all this other online stuff is just gravy. Like this is just the cool stuff we get to do. So for me, it was just really impactful to get to watch her roll out of a corporate career, you know, grow now an eight-figure business. And it was very inspirational for me to watch her do that, coming from a similar background. And ultimately I was in her, you know, her program called the Unstoppable Entrepreneur. I ascended into Legacy Leaders, which is her highest level mastermind. And in literally a coaching call is where Social Sellers Academy was born. And here we are running business together. So it's been extremely impactful in my life, you could say.
That's awesome. What an interesting story and relationship. I've never heard that scenario play out quite that way.
Yeah, it's been really, really cool. And I'm so grateful for her and her partnership in this business and leadership. And, you know, she's a solid, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ahead of me in business building. So she's just, you know, she's seen more, she's experienced more, she's seen more iterations. And so it's really nice to have her guidance in it as well.
Well, that's great. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about your business and where they can get in touch with you?
Yeah. So we do two things at Social Sellers Academy, which is kind of fun. We just kind of rolled out a new offer. So the first thing that we do is what we've been talking about here is we help CEOs build seven and eight figure sales organizations. And we do that through training your people, helping you set up your systems, helping you set up your metrics, KPIs, lead tracking, and then ultimately doing the hip-to-hip coaching that really helps your salespeople develop mastery. And that has been really fun and exciting. But one of the biggest objections, Craig, we kept hearing from people that are like, yeah, your academy sounds great, but I don't know where to find a social seller. Like, where do I find these people? I don't even know what that looks like. So we are literally, you know, here in a couple of days doing our first workshop to enroll salespeople who have sales backgrounds or would like to have a career in sales, doing a remote, you know, sales job, to put them through a 90-day training to then be able to match them up with CEOs and business owners who are looking for social sellers.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Cause in the beginning we were just thinking, hey, you have a sales team, like we'll train them for you. And like I said, a lot of people were like, we'd love to have a sales team, but you know what it's like in entrepreneur land. We don't have time. We don't have the energy. We don't have all of these metrics and KPIs and things you just told me I needed. We don't have any of that yet. So it was like, okay, well, we'll help you put that together. And then essentially, you know, potentially give you an opportunity to connect with someone who we have trained, who knows our system, who has shown some prowess and some capabilities in that arena, and hopefully pair them up with someone who's a really great fit for both. So that's what we do at Social Sellers Academy. The best place to connect with us is on Instagram at Social Sellers Academy. I am active on LinkedIn at Ryan Dowdy, so you're welcome to connect with me there. And then we have a podcast as well called Daily Sales on Demand for CEOs. We talk a lot of sales leadership, sales mindset, and we'd love to connect with you there as well.
That's great. I'll have to take a look at the podcast. Before we get done here, our last question, if you could hop into a time machine and go back to the day that you started your first business,
okay,
what advice would you give your past self?
Oh, what advice would I give my past self? Go with your gut. Go with your gut. Trust your instincts.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think I've learned that over the past few years, that like, our instincts are there for a reason. Like the nudges that we get, the ideas that we get, they're there for a reason. And whatever you believe in spiritually, you know, someone is pointing you in a direction some way. And I think that I give away a lot of my power. And I was like, oh, well, that person, they know more than I do. That person's done this before. And I gave away a lot of my power thinking that more people knew more than me and I had to do it their way, even mm-hmm. though my guts and my instincts were telling me to do it a different way. And so I would have told me, like, go with your gut, like, trust yourself. Like, it's all in there. You know way more than you give yourself credit for. And I think we all do. But unfortunately, we've been programmed that it's like the next course or the next whatever that's going to unlock the secrets or whatever. But I think honestly, it's inside of us and we just need to trust our guts. So that is the advice I would give myself, is to trust your instincts.
Yep. Great advice. Obviously, we can't do all the things that all the people and not all the things that all the people say we should be doing are right for our business or right for our customers. So that's definitely good advice.
I agree. And I think too, we get on the hamster wheel of content consumption. And I tell people all the time, I love and adore Amy Porterfield. I love the work that she do. I love how she's pioneered online entrepreneurship for women. But I literally, Craig, had to stop listening to her podcast.
Yeah.
Because every week it was like Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, Facebook, ads, courses. And I was like, okay, I'm over here. And I was like a ping pong ball in all of her amazingness. It actually overwhelmed me more than anything. And now that I'm a more mature business owner, I can go back through and listen, like, hey, I want to learn more about Instagram. And I know that her podcast, she's going to have the very best guests on there talking about it. But in the beginning, it was really overwhelming for me. So I think along with like trusting your gut is to stop consuming. When you find yourself like ping pong back and forth between ideas and strategies and concepts, that was a lot for me early on. And I constantly warn people about overconsumption.
I know the feeling. I was the same way with Gary Vee at first.
Yes.
It's way too much and too much going on. And, you know, it's great to scroll through the list of podcasts and say, hey, you, like you said, this Instagram episode might make sense for what I'm trying to accomplish today, rather than every day there's something new and a new strategy. And then you second guess yourself. Am I doing the right thing? Should I be doing these six other things? Do we need NFTs right now? You know,
I was like, Gary, I don't know where you're at, homie, but I've got to stop. I don't know what you're talking about anymore. I follow him on TikTok. I find his best stuff is on TikTok because it can only be 60 seconds.
There you go.
Got to get straight to the point on TikTok.
I might have to check him out on TikTok. All right, Ryan. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. Really appreciate all the value you brought the audience and enjoyed our conversation today. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, Craig, thanks for having me. I'm happy to do it.
Thanks for listening to the Small Business School podcast. If you like what you heard, please share it and leave a review. It would mean the world to us. If you are a small business owner or looking to start a business, join the Small Business School Facebook group. It's a private community of people focused on helping each other take their businesses to the next level. To learn more about our guest today or to be a feature guest on the Small Business School, go to craigstaley.com/podcast for more info.